Welcome to Original Mind Zen Sangha. Today's Dharma talk is given by Andre Tayson Hallo.
Tonight's talk is going to be called Accepting Conditions. So I'll have to begin by defining my terms. Normally when we talk about conditions, I think we refer to circumstances, the way things are in our life. And that's not the way that what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. Buddhism places an enormous emphasis on conditionality itself. And it's the recognition that nothing can exist on its own. And the temporal understanding that we would call it impermanence. And they're two sides of the same coin. They're identical. When we say that something's impermanent, it means that it changes. Well, it changes because it can't exist on its own. It relies upon a matrix of other factors beyond itself. For instance, last week, when we were sitting in meditation, my eyes kept going to the same spot on the carpet. And what I saw was a man's face. This is the contours of the carpet in such a way as to create half of a face. And I just couldn't stop seeing it. No matter which way I look, I'd have to go look at it from the upside down in order not to see it. And even then, I probably could have picked it out. But here I am, and I sit down. And of course, habit has it that I sit looking for the same face, and I can't find it. Because nothing exists on its own. And that this image that I saw on the floor was just a chance happening of the carpet fibers going a certain way, people walking, stepping on it in such a way. And of course, then there was my mind, which was picking up on a face that really wasn't there at all. And it's a very glaring example of how the world works. It works and functions conditionally. This stick was once part of a tree, then it fell down, and somebody found it, and somebody shaped it, and somebody shellacked it, and then it wound up in my hands. And who knows where it'll be in 20 years or 30 years, or maybe even 2 years. Because everything is constantly in a state of flux or flow. And our practice is about paying careful attention to that and understanding that not only is the world changing constantly, because we can accept that, but so are we. And I'm reminded of that old, I think it was Heraclitus, who said you can't step inside the same river twice, because the river itself is a paradox. It's the same river, and yet it isn't, because it's changing. The Buddhist understanding of that is, not only can you not step in the same river twice, but the same person can't step in the same river twice. Because we, too, are just a series of overlapping processes that somehow come in perfect harmony for a while, and then eventually, when we're old enough or sick enough, those processes cease, and with it goes life. Consciousness in Buddhism is not seen as an absolute entity. We have lapses in our consciousness all the time. When we go to bed, in between sleep and dreams, there's quite a bit of time where our consciousness ceases entirely. And that's a very good example of how things don't exist on their own. And they operate in flux and in bursts of energy. So how does this pertain to our practice ultimately? That's what the Buddha Dharma is asking us. It's not about a philosophy about arguing impermanence versus permanence, but rather coming up with the skills to live the most healthy lives that we can, the most satisfying lives, and both for ourselves and for others. And the way that we do that is when we recognize that everything is remarkably beautiful not in spite of its fragility and impermanence, but precisely because of it. A flower is beautiful because it won't be there all season. Or even if it is, it won't be there over the winter. Even the trees change. So when we pay very close attention, we see that we too are subject to the same law of conditionality, of impermanence. And so what we normally take as absolutes, like our desire, something that we want, when we examine those, they appear to just be momentary flashes of impulse rather than being these concrete forces that we need to satisfy somehow. Same applies for emotions, for thoughts. And the more we start to deconstruct our notion of who and what we are, the more freedom we have, because we're not bound inside of this rigid idea that we are this fixed person. We're not. That's just one of many possible stories that we could tell ourselves about ourselves. For instance, right now I'm teacher. When I go home, I'll be dad or husband. And then when I go to school tomorrow, I'll be a teacher again, but in a different capacity, an English teacher. And then so these roles that we play are constantly shifting. None of them are concrete or absolute in themselves any more than that face inside the carpet was. With this comes, of course, humility and a surrendering to conditionality itself, realizing that, yes, it's possible because my existence depends upon other factors beyond myself. I could hypothetically cease to exist at any moment. A blood clot. Heart attack. And because those things haven't happened yet, or to my knowledge haven't happened yet, I can look at my body and my existence as a great mystery, as this fantastic set of conditions that somehow have come together in alignment to create this experience that I call Andre. I think that's what the Buddha is pointing towards, is a right view of how we should live our lives in accordance with the world and its changing nature.
That was Andre Tayson Hallow. Thank you for joining Original Mind Zen Sangha.